Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, in our series on living for eternity, the objective of this series has really just been to help us connect the dots between our here and now. You know, what we're doing, how we're living our lives, our various interactions, all that different stuff, and connecting that to the age to come and how what we're doing matters, the decisions that we make matter, and that the Lord's really pleased. He's eager. He's sitting on the edge of his seat if he were able to sit on the... What does it look like when God sits on the edge of the throne, like about to tip over? I don't know. Sitting on the edge of his seat with excitement and expectation and a joy to reward us for the decisions that we make that are according to his purposes. And so today's session is entitled, All Hard Work Brings a Profit. And we're going to talk about how that flows into two realms, the here and now, and also in the age to come. And I just want to talk about the dignity of this, that the Lord gave mankind the dignity to make stuff better. I'm just in the most natural sense. You know, I was having a conversation with a couple of the guys the other day, just talking about the pioneering days, you know, and just how intense it was when they were going west. It's like, there's no road. They're supposed to get, you know, 300 miles that way, but there's just forest and, like, land, and they had to, like, plow their way through, and just how hard that was. But then the next group that got to come got to at least walk the same trail that they'd already walked, and then the next group got almost like a bad road, and then the next group got a little bit of a real road, and it kept getting better. Just the dignity that the Lord's given us in being able to work and make things better. So whether that's work in the most, you know, pioneering sense, or work that spreadsheet and make it better. I mean, it's all different versions of work, but that the Lord's given us dignity in being able to put our hands to something, our minds to something, our efforts to something, and improve it. And that's really cool. That's actually part of his nature and character as the creator, and that he's given us that ability to touch stuff and make it better, put investment and energy into it and make it better. I love that. I think that's a really cool thing. Lost or saved, the Lord has given mankind that dignity of work. And he's applied a universal principle. It's really fun. And I even like to watch this one in operation in people that don't love the Lord at all, just because of how real this universal principle is, that all hard work brings a profit. Because you can see lost people that they're not thinking about the Lord at all, but they're following one of the kingdom principles, whether they know it or not. Whether they're doing it on purpose or not, they are doing it. And by doing it, you see them be successful in various areas. And I just wanted to give us a few of the verses that kind of help us to get this. And then just talk about what this means for us and what it also requires of us. But this is a twofold reality. And we'll look at a bunch of the verses that talk about this age, and then we'll look at ones that talk about the next age related to our work. But here's Proverbs 14:23. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Proverbs 13:4. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Diligent means hard work, in essence, and staying at it. It's not hard work for 15 minutes, but being diligent in that. Fully satisfied. The desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Proverbs 12:24, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. There's this idea about hard work. I mean, the Bible, like, esteems this. It's interesting because we live in a culture and a generation that is really trying to figure out how to never have hard work. Like, try to get as far away from that as possible. And that's not godly. That's not godly. It's actually godly to work hard. Now, work can look a lot of different ways. And I'm so grateful for the hour that we live in. There's a million ways you can work. But we're just supposed to give ourselves to it diligently. We're supposed to work hard. And that the Lord honors that. And that all of those verses, I don't know if you caught this, they weren't just work hard because that's what you do if you're a good Christian. They were promises of return. All of them that we just looked at. Hard work brings a profit. So it's not hard work just brings blood, sweat, and tears. It does sometimes bring that. But it brings a profit. All hard work. This is, you want to get a hold of this. You want to you want to really capture this verse and the thousand other verses that mean the same thing. If I work hard at something, it will bring me a return. It will yield a profit. That is just awesome. And again, we've seen the lost world implement this maybe sometimes better than some believers, is this thought process, because it's a kingdom principle. It's the way that God made us. Hard work yields a profit. Part of what I want to do with this morning, it's not my main purpose, but I do hope that it kind of happens in us, is for any of us that are struggling. I don't mean struggling with laziness. I mean struggling with laziness thinking it's okay. There's a difference. There's a difference when you're like, oh, I'm struggling. I need to get my butt up. You know, I need to do this. I know I need to work harder. I get that, because that's all you're in a moment of weakness and you're struggling with it. I want to address what our culture is applauding in so many ways, and that is you don't need to work hard. You don't need to, invest yourself. You can just, you only live once, kind of a thought process. Just enjoy, kick back. You don't need to have a job. You just do whatever you want to do. That's not true. That's not godly. That's not what the scripture says. It actually applauds hard work. And then it promises that if we'll do that hard work, our life will actually improve. That good stuff will happen in our life. But it doesn't stop there. We'll touch on a little bit in a minute on that one. But I just look at Paul's hard line. Paul got really feisty about this point. I think he knew the book of Proverbs. Because Paul got really feisty in the Thessalonican, or with the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Now, think about that. Let's not think about this as a Bible verse. Let's think about this as a way a community was run. Okay, let's think about this in practical, all right? So you got a group of 100 people, because we need a number, all right? And 89 of them are working, and they're working in all different ways. I'm sure Paul understood that, hey, there's different people do different things. But you got 11 lazy bums that are like, I'm not working. I'm just happy everybody else is working. And by the way, what's for dinner? Paul's like, congratulations, you get to eat bubkis. Eat your hand. Because you didn't use your hand to do nothing today. So he says, our rule when we were with you was, if you don't work, you don't get to eat food. If you don't eat food long enough, you die. This is intense. But this is part of the statement of heaven about the importance of working hard. About having a way that we're investing ourselves, and that it is godly. I just want to say it again. It is godly to work our tails off. That's godly. You got to have balance. You can't only work your tails off and ignore family, ignore Jesus. That's not the point. But it's godly to work hard, and it's not godly to be lazy. It's not godly. And I want us to hear that, feel that. And I just think about all the 20-year-olds in our midst that are trying to figure out life and are entering into that first season of job and, what's the market out there. I just want to give you a little piece of advice. Get a bad job while you're looking for a good one. Go get a bad job that's really bad. And then look for a better job. Be employed while you're looking for a better job. Just go get a bad job. We've all had bad jobs. Oh, my goodness. I got in 2 car accidents my first week of driving. First week, I needed a job. J-O-B. So I was slinging burgers at Sonic. It's just, I had to get a bad job. Till I found a good one, which was working at Baskin Robbins. Now that was where it was at. That might have been where my ice cream addiction hit. Actually, I think we traced it back. I think it's okay. It was 17-year-old Brad getting a job at Baskin Robbins. Anyway, I want us to just validate the peace of the kingdom of God, that working hard is good. That's righteous. That's godly. That's the plan. And there's a variety of different labors. Again, I look at the way that culture looks today, just in our midst, versus if you really were one of those pioneers, going left. Everybody's like way, way heading to the coast. Working hard really was pretty narrow then. It was cooking, cleaning, chopping, horsing, packing, unloading. It was just whatever. It was hard work looked pretty, there was just a narrow version. But that's not the case today. There are 1,000 different fields of ways that we can invest our energy. The key is that we would do it with all our might. The key is that we would invest and we work our tails off in whatever direction it is that we're going. Variety of labors. Well, we're told that we'll be rewarded according to our kingdom labor. That's not the only way, but it is as a starting point I want to give us. 1 Corinthians 3:8. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. And if you don't know the context there, it's He's Paul talking about the various ways that ministers within the kingdom, within the gospel, are sowing, planting, helping, watering, investing. Some share the gospel. Some are there right after to clean up the poopy diapers for the babies in Christ. And some are there a little bit longer down the road when they're investing. And some are there for the leadership development process. And he says it this way. He says, the one who plants and the one who waters, they have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. Something I want us to understand that this series, I think, is just, it's bringing to mind. I know I've been struck with it again and again. Is you were not just born to have a life. The fact that you came into the kingdom of God, you now have a responsibility to the kingdom of God. Every one of you that loves Jesus, you've got a responsibility to the kingdom of God to labor in some way, at some level, to see the kingdom of God advance. If we only focus on our own lives and we make those lives awesome, but the universal reality of everybody decides, I'm just going to invest in my own life. I'm not going to concern myself with the labor of the kingdom. The kingdom of God would never move forward, ever. But if everybody will do their part, the kingdom of God advances and advances. And that's the point. And I look at this and I'm like, the Lord will reward it. Every little effort, every effort of ministry, every endeavor, says the Lord, you will be rewarded according to your own labor. And again, I like the word labor again, because it's like, it's kind of intense. It's kind of like pushing buttons a little bit. Labor, it's not like light, fluffy work. It's like, no, hard, in the trenches, according to your labor. You don't labor accidentally. You don't labor without effort and intent. Labor is like labor, it's work. And Paul's like, yeah, and you'll actually be rewarded for all of that. I think about that a lot. Not just for me, I think about that for our small group leaders and all the praise that our small group leaders got a minute ago, and how part of the reason I wanted our small group leaders honored was because those efforts that they got praised for, many of those, it was work. It was work to get that report. Late nights, early mornings, phone calls, conversations, blubbering messes. Anybody had any of them blubbering messes? I know I've been a blubbering mess on a time or two. Where it takes work, it's labor to help each other, to help those in the kingdom and to see things moving forward. And the Lord's like, don't shy back from that. I invented that. I actually like that, and you'll be rewarded for that labor. In this life and in the one to come, 1 Timothy 4:8, godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. We just identified hard work is one of the principles of godliness. I mean, there's got to be a million. But one of the principles of godliness is hard work, working hard, like putting our labor in, working our tails off, like actually, you know, breaking a sweat over it is whatever it is that we're doing. It's godly. And Paul is talking to Timothy. He's like, Timothy, listen, I know you got a lot going on, bro. He said, I want to promise you something. You yourself and then all those that you lead need to know that godliness impacts two realms. You'll be rewarded in this life, and you will be rewarded for those godly acts in the age to come. This is powerful. So it's not just what we say and what we do, it's our work. Now, some of you, when we were talking about all the feelings of like interactions with people and be nice and all that, some of you were just coming alive because you're like, oh man, that really, I'm built that way and I'm real emotional. I love to invest in people. And some were like, oh man, can we please move on from that? Let's go do something practical. And now we're in this moment where we're talking about hard work. I want to tell you, hard workers, it's esteemed in the Word of God, and you'll be rewarded for it. Your hard work, your labors, your efforts, God sees them, and you'll be rewarded for them. And we're going to talk a little bit about how that applies to many different realms of life, not just, you know, whatever it is that you, you know, go out and dig a hole, build a fence, you know, raise a barn. Let's look at just a few of the ways that the Lord speaks about our good deeds. And I want to keep this thought process, these verses. I mean, one thing that we're really grateful about the Word is the Word applies on a million levels, at a million layers, in a million situations. And so I recognize these verses are broad, and they apply to a large variety of things, including our hard work. So I want to just be upfront with that. So if you're looking at them, you're like, okay, let's apply these to how it works for our hard work, specifically related to the deeds, the things that we do, the tough stuff that we do, whatever that hard work is. Revelation 2:23 says, then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and that I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Every deed, every bit of hard work, every labor, every effort where you invested yourself and you put some energy into it. Like you really put energy. Maybe it wasn't even esteemed by people. Maybe in the natural it didn't even seem like it looked like it worked. The Lord's like, I see it. I search your heart and your mind. I saw what you did. I saw that labor. I saw you trying to apply those verses in Proverbs about working hard and the Lord promises to reward it. I saw you doing that. Even if man didn't, even if the thing you built didn't even work, even I saw it and I will reward you according to your deeds. Jeremiah 17:10, similarly, I, the Lord, search the heart, I examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. As we apply this in the various ways of life, I just want you to like take this one to the bank, that the Lord is actually seeing your efforts, your hard work, and he esteems it. And it matters to him, and he's actually going to reward you for it. I think sometimes about when we stand before the Lord, and it's like, I just think we're going to get the shock of our life at how careful of an accountant he was and how many things we did that we thought didn't matter at all. It was like, that was just dumb. That was just me just, you know, doing a Tuesday, just doing my thing. And I was like, no, that was epic. You actually were applying kingdom principles. Maybe you weren't thinking about them every day all the time, but you were doing the word of God. You get a reward for that. I get a reward. I was even like half connected to what was happening. Yeah, you were following the word of God. And you're going to get rewarded for that. I just think about how much reward is coming to us that we're not even going to be aware of. I think most of the rewards will actually come in a way that's, we just tried to set our heart and set our course and have a general right perspective about the way that we were living our life. And many times we're probably not thinking exactly about how all those details work in the moment, but the Lord sees it. That's why I gave you these verses. I search hearts and minds. I see you. I see those efforts. I see it, and I'm going to reward you for it. And so I think we're going to have the shock of our life when we stand before him. And we're going to probably be mostly fretting, at least right before that. I think once we get a resurrected mind, we'll be fine. But I think we're going to mostly be fretting about, oh man, I made this mistake and I did this thing and I didn't do that one right. And I think the Lord is going to be like, okay, yeah, I mean, those things are true. But can I show you the 10 million times you did right? Can I show you how I was watching, eager on the edge of my seat to reward you for your acts of righteousness, for your good deeds, for those words that you kept back, for those actions you did when no one was looking, for the things that just pleased me? I think that we're going to get the shock of our life. He promises to reward every deed. Every deed, and he's an excellent accountant. We're just so used to getting rewards in this life, let's say a paycheck, okay? We're so used to getting a paycheck not for how every second was spent that week, but for the three or four things that we got done, that we then like submitted to our boss, like, hey, you told me to get the stuff done, I got these three or four things done. We're not used to the calculation going down to the second level. The Lord's going to bring it down to the second level. Every deed, every action, he's going to reward us. Well, if it's the case, then we're going to get rewarded for every deed. Everything that we did in righteousness, in pursuit, whether completely aware or not even, if that's the case, what do we do with that? 1 Timothy 6:18 through 19, command them to be good, or to do good, to be rich in good deeds. In this way, they'll lay up a treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. I want to exhort us. Why don't we seek to be rich in good deeds? Think about that. You think about a rich person with money, and what that means is they've got a lot of money. What if we were rich in a different way while crossing our fingers and praying like crazy for money? But what if we were rich in a different way? What if we were rich in good deeds because we recognize, once again, the promise, by doing so, we lay up a treasure for ourselves in the coming age? What if we sought out to live a life of good deeds, of seeking to work hard with our hands, to just whatever we do, just to do it wholeheartedly, whatever we're doing, to get rid of half-heartedness, you know? Let's not half-butt anything. Let's just give our whole butt. Let's just go for it. Let's give ourselves whatever it is that we're doing. Why don't we start thinking of this thought process of living wholeheartedly, doing good deeds with the recognition, if I'm rich in this way, if I'm rich in investing, rich in helping, rich in strengthening, rich in building, that the Lord sees all that and he's like, yep, there's another stone for the foundation. And then we're actually laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Here's the thing. I think we live so often so disconnected from this reality that we lose so much joy in life that was available to us. So much joy. Like, it matters. It matters. Most of you have got a job, and I would just bet all of you at some point hate it. At some point, you're like, this is tough. I want out. I don't like this. That's just normal humanity stuff. I get that. But did you know that the Lord sees your every yes, your every effort, and you're going to be rewarded for it? You're going to be rewarded. Hard work yields a profit. Godliness yields a return in this age and the one to come. He sees it. That's really powerful. Well, we're commanded, encouraged to not be weary in doing good. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good. Let's not just start down the road. Let's not just start that new job and work hard at it. Let's keep going. And again, we're going to touch on kind of three spheres here in just a second. But I'm using secular job as a starting point because I don't want to have to talk about all three realms all the time. What if we started a job and we worked hard and we were thinking, God, I know you see me and this job is hard and there's things about it that smell and there's people here that kind of smell. And there's some things about my attitude that are kind of stinky as well. But Lord, I'm going to keep doing it. Well, we start off with a good attitude. We've got that good deeds mentality. We're going to work hard. And then we don't give up. We keep going. We don't grow weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up. Die running hard after Jesus. Die working hard with your hands or whatever realm of work you've got. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. Do not grow weary. Do not grow weary. Keep doing it. The Lord sees it, and then he sees it again, he sees it again. And he knows your human weakness, so actually your rewards increase when your efforts are still all you've got to give, but your energy of what you actually have to give is less. I just think about some of us in this room that have gone through some real difficulties in this past season. And, you know, Luke Cooper and I, we got this little running gag about 20% is the new 100%. It's like, well, about half the man I used to be. Well, about half a the man I used to be. It's like, well, just give it all. That's your new 100%, baby. Because if that's what you got, give it. The Lord's not expecting more. Maybe people are. Maybe people are like, you should be doing more. It's like, man, I'll give it all I can give if you are. I mean, if you're not, then go back to the earlier clause about laziness. Don't do that. But if you're like, this is all I got to give, it's just kind of sad looking right now. The Lord's like, oh, that's awesome. Give me sadness. Love it. Perfect. I can work with that. Just give it all to me. Give it all. And if we will give him our all and we will not grow weary, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I just think giving up is like, it's so in our vernacular. And I just want to say it. It's not godly. I just find me one Bible verse that says, when it gets tough, get up, give up. They're not in there. It's not in there. Work hard. Press through. Ask for God's grace. Don't quit. Keep going. All hard work brings a profit, and you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. It's not just in the realm of work. It's in all the fields. It's in everything. If we'll keep going, we'll reap a harvest. But this one, this is specifically just talking about the age to come. I mean, this verse is way more age to come than it is even this age. This age is true too. I mean, there's plenty of verses that say you get rewarded in this age and in the next. But man, this one's just talking about that inheritance in the age to come, that harvest that we'll receive. Man, at the end, when we stand before him and he gives an assessment and goes, hey, listen, so you were a one-talent guy or a one-talent gal. That's okay. You used your one talent with all your might. Well done. You used what I gave you. And you kicked butt and you took names. But you used it, and you didn't give up. You will yield a harvest of righteousness. Well, let's talk about three different ways that we can work hard with whatever we do. or at whatever we do. Daily life, workplace, and ministry. And I just want to make it clear again, when we say ministry, I don't mean you got a job with a job title called ministry. I mean, you're a saved person, therefore you're a minister of the gospel. You know Jesus. You're now, you have ministry, all of us. Some do it more hours a week, but that doesn't matter. So three areas, daily life, workplace, and ministry. The Lord loves hard work. I mean, this is one of my favorite promises. It's not my favorite, but it's in the top list regarding God's reward system. Because this one just seems to me like too good to be true. It's just unbelievable. Simply put, it states that we work hard at whatever it is that we do as though we were completing the task for God or the project or the situation or handling the thing. And if we do, God promises that by doing this, we'll be rewarded even if the thing that we're doing seems trite, doesn't work, isn't esteemed by people. This is just such a powerful principle. It's a serious amplifier because it means we can get eternal credit for stocking shelves. Making coffee. It's like all those baristas. Lord, bless those baristas. Man. I've never made a pot of coffee in my life. Not one pot. I don't even know how to do it. I want to die that way if I can. You know? I just want to praise those baristas for their hard work. Obeying what the Lord gives us, obeying what our leaders give us, every little piece of this, it's the mindset that if we just have in the midst of the task, in the midst of the project, we just give ourselves to it, the Lord sees it as work to be rewarded. That's pretty awesome. All right, so let's look at the three. How this applies to daily life. The Lord loves hard work. And so this principle plays out in our domestic life. So it matters when we mow the lawn. It matters when we do the dishes, when we raise our kids diligently. Even working hard to keep our finances in order instead of being slack with our finances. Let me just give you a couple verses. 2 Chronicles 15:7 and Ecclesiastes 9. As for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Your work will be rewarded. Ecclesiastes 9 just makes it so broad. It's awesome. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Just don't be lax. Don't be slack in what you're doing. Just do it with all your might. Guys, credit for dishes. I just want us to understand this for a second. You look at the mile-high level of dishes, okay? You see the pile, and you're intimidated. You think, that pile's mocking me. It's calling me names. I don't like it calling me names. I'm a little intimidated. I don't know if I start on this. Will I ever finish this? Yo, Lord, I'm going to take on that pile of dishes for you, and I want eternal rewards. And he goes, okay. Really? Dishes? Yeah, whatever you put your hand to, do it with all your might. And I will reward you for your hard work. Because just think about this for a second. Think about how gnarly it is when you pull out a dish out of somebody's cabinet and it's got little pieces of lasagna on it. It's grody, right? Nobody wants lasagna dish. I mean, it's all crustified and been there for weeks. Six flies on that one little pea-sized piece of lasagna. Not that I've ever seen this before. It's kind of grody, though, right? See, here's the difference. The Lord was actually trying to set up a system so that we'd never have to face that little chunk of lasagna on a plate. If we will work at dishes with all of our might, it will actually make life better here and now. If we'll work at the yard with all of our might, we'll work at the raising our kids, we'll work at just domestic life. And we'll look at it and we'll go, I'm going to give my all to this. I'm not going to be lax about it. I'm going to actually invest. The Lord's like, that's an excellent spirit. I can reward that. I can reward an excellent spirit. It's tough for the Lord to look at us given just a half-hearted effort and for him to go, man, I'm sure proud of you on that one. Because he built the kingdom so that we would actually operate according to excellence in whatever we put our hands to. He says, if you'll do that, if you'll put that principle in play, you can get eternal rewards for your domestic life. This is unbelievable. See, because what this does now is it gets rid of the holy and the profane. You know, it gets rid of the concept that there's spiritual life and then there's just mundane life. It makes everything spiritual. Now, doing the dishes can be spiritual. Now mowing the lawn or whatever other thing, doing your taxes. I mean, it's like, I'm going to just do this stuff. I don't like this thing. I'm going to give it all my heart. I'm going to do my best. And the Lord's like, if you will have an excellent spirit about it, I'll see the excellent spirit. It was never about the dishes. You understand? It was never about the dishes. It was about the spirit in which we did the dishes. It's about that excellent spirit. Work hard. It will yield you a return in this age and in the next. Work hard. Well, secondly, how it applies to our workplace assignments. We've got those. I'm so grateful for Paul's clarity about this because it really makes working at Baskin-Robbins or working for, you know, the front desk or working in a school system, it adds value. It carries over that dignity we were talking about earlier about hard work. Look how Paul addresses this head on. He says it really, really matters how you handle your job. And God really cares, and he's really watching. I remember coming to know the Lord, and just it was like I had such a divided thought process. Like, I go to church, and I read my Bible, and I do these holy things, and then I kind of live my life waiting for more godly moments, more Bible studies, more whatever. And the Lord's like, it's so compartmentalized. Because I'm looking at your life, and I'm actually looking for ways to engage you moment to moment, situation to situation. Look at what Paul says. This is just so powerful. If we'll allow it to touch our hearts, this can really change your perspective at your bad job, at your mean boss, at your dumb coworker. It really can. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. Amen. Because you know the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether slave or free. He will reward everyone for whatever good he does. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. History, situation, circumstance, job. Again, it's not about the job. It's about the attitude at the job. It's really not about the job. Most of you are like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I'll just do something bad and make it better later. Just do something. Just go get a job. Do your best at it. And then wait for the Lord to promote you because he will. If you work hard, you'll get promoted. That's how it works. Look at this. One more. He says to the Colossians, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. No, I work at Starbucks. I'm not serving Christ. I'm serving that mermaid thing. Not if you don't want to serve the mermaid thing. You can serve Christ at the mermaid thing. Serve Christ at Target. Serve Christ at Disney. All these places are losing their mind, by the way. You can serve Christ in the midst of Babylon. You can serve Christ. And if you do, God goes, you're serving me. You could turn the tide. Guys, this is crazy. This is really, really good news because this means every day you can actually accrue eternal rewards in the most secular of environments. Secular, spiritual, none of it matters. It's all the Lord's. He made the whole thing. This whole world is his. And he says, just serve wholeheartedly. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not men. I just want you to think about your boss, whoever your boss is. Just pray for them. Say, Lord, help them to be a better boss. But while they're a bad boss, serve Christ instead of them. And when they're a good boss, serve Christ instead of them. Look at it that way. Do you see the permission here? This changes your job. If you'll take this to heart, this completely changes your job. Because now it's unto the Lord and not unto the productivity of that company merely. But remember this, if you work hard at your job, that company will be better. If you work hard at your job, you'll probably wind up getting promoted. If you work hard, it brings a profit, both in this age and the age to come. Just think about this for just a second. I mean, this is just so 1 + 1 = 2. I can even operate that math. Now, when you start talking about 2 + 2 is something, I don't know. But 1 + 1 = 2, I got it. If you're a boss, imagine you're a boss over anything, any situation, any circumstance, and you got two employees underneath you. One comes to work every day They work their tail off. They're always there early. They're willing to stay a few minutes late. They always have a good attitude. Whenever they don't have a good attitude, they fix their bad attitude. They always work hard. They always stock things. They go out of their way to fix little extra things. They're not slacking. And then you've got another worker that shows up and mostly does their job, but there's nothing like outstanding about them. And the time comes where you've got money to give a raise to one of your two employees. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. The time comes where there's an opening in the company to move somebody up. Move up the one that's working their tail off. Or move up the one that's just kind of existing and just kind of holding the job. I mean, guys, this is really simple math. It's really simple. Be the one that's working the hardest in every one of your work environments. Be the one that shows up early, work hard, do the extra stuff, go the extra mile. It's the manner that we carry ourselves at our job. How hard we work at the tasks assigned to us. The way that we interact with our coworkers. Aim to be the one with the best attitude at the place of business. Aim to be the one that works the hardest. Just aim that. You don't have to talk about it. Just do it. Live it. See, that's not just a good way to get promoted. It's a good way to get godly, which you'll get promoted in this life and the life to come. Work your tail off. Be the outstanding example employee at your job. And the Lord's like, I see that. You get rewarded for that. Also, again, I know our culture is telling us a different thing. We're going to stand before the Lord for all the laziness. We're going to have to give an account. It's like, you had that job, you knew a couple Bible verses that said, if you would do it for me, I'd bless you. And you just kind of bebop through life. You just kind of made it. You just kind of status quo. That wasn't all your heart. That wasn't work wholeheartedly as though for the Lord. I mean, that's a joke. But if you work wholeheartedly, the Lord says, I'll see it, and I'll count it as righteousness, and I'll reward you for it. Man, that's awesome. That's really encouraging. And then, yes, also ministry. And I want to stress it again. Ministry is more than the, you know, few people in your world that you know that have a microphone. The few people in the world that have even got a small group in this context. Ministry is you as a believer taking what you've got and giving what you've got in the ways you can give it on purpose. Taking that one talent the Lord gave you, or two, or five, or 25. If there's any 25 talent people, I'd like to talk to you later. But take the one talent that you got and invest it into kingdom so that the kingdom advances. The Lord says, oh, I love that. You care about my family. You care about the kingdom of God. You were busy. You had all these different responsibilities. You had many blessings in your life that I gave you. You had many adverse, you know, issues and complications and difficulties. I recognize that. And you choose to not just handle your life, but also to invest energy to build the kingdom of God. Oh, I love that. And each of you have been given a sphere of influence. Peers, relationships, coworkers, family, neighbors, whoever. And for those of you who are like, I don't have that many, go get some more. There's plenty of people in this world that could use you as somebody in their life. There's like unending opportunity for ministry. Like, I've only known the Lord for 15 minutes. Great, go find the one that's known the Lord for 0 minutes. You've got something to give. And the Lord says, I will reward that because you're building my house, my kingdom, my people, my purpose. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm and let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Work hard in ministry. Work hard in small group life. Work hard at becoming a small group pastor or leader. Work hard at starting to minister a little bit in that work environment. You won't have a title. You don't even need one. Work hard. Build everywhere you've got an opportunity. Work hard. Your labor is not in vain. The Lord sees it, and he will reward you for it. That's really awesome. Okay, so we've got just our domestic life. We've got our job situation. And the reason I just separate those two is because you spend a lot of time at your job. And I recognize job is part of domestic life in the big sense, but I just like to bring it on home, domestic, at work, just your workplace reality, and then also ministry. And all three of these are an opportunity for you to be able to apply this principle. All hard work brings a profit. The Lord sees it. He loves it. We all know what it feels like to have just worked our tails off for something. project at work, something in the backyard, something in ministry that you were able to, you know, finally see something, you know, accomplished that you've been working on for quite a while. And we got that feeling of like, oh, I did it. It's awesome. That feeling of accomplishment after hard work. For some of you as students, your labor for years and years, and then you finally get to graduate. All that hard work paid off. It feels amazing. Part of the reason it feels amazing is because you're actually completing a moment that's a Bible principle. And you're feeling the Word of God course through you in addition to all the other things that are going on. But you're feeling the fulfillment of the Word of God in your life. All hard work brings a profit. But we also know when it's like, so it's like, hey, how'd you handle that situation? And you're like, can we just not talk about that? Really? Well, didn't you start doing that thing? Can we just really move on from that? And we're just like kind of like a little bit of shame. I mean, not like we're losing sleep over it, but we kind of don't want to talk about it. Which one feels better? There's a reason for that. The Lord wrote this into the code of life. All hard work brings a profit. And so I just want to encourage us today. Worship team, you can come on up. Andy, come on up. We want to have grace to work wholehearted. We want a work ethic that the Lord would go, yeah. And in any area where we're like, oh, man, I'm falling a little bit short of that, we're all falling short in so many ways. Just don't stay there. Just don't applaud it. Don't become comfortable in the areas that you're falling short. Address them and go, Lord, help me in this area. So if you're in this and you're like, man, I've been working a little bit, but I don't know that I've got a great work ethic. Some of you are like, I've got a great work ethic, but I know this principle. I want to press in even for more. Some of you are like, I'm mad at Brad for preaching this one. Pray about that too. You can pray about anything. Let's just pray for grace for a wholehearted work ethic because it promises a twofold return. This age and the one to come.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.